Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
Indy, welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. How's it going today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
It's bittersweet, man. You're leaving this building. Good friend of mine that we met at the Fringe Festival about a year and a half ago, or a year, or whatever it was, in 2022. And I noticed you had a guitar.
Yeah. That was my second day of move into the building. It was a great, ever since, man. We've been talking ever since, so it's been great. You've been definitely a sweet memory, not a bitter one.
All I'd ever wanted to do in my life is be Brown Sugar, so the fact that I could have that placeholder in your memory for a local legend like yourself at Crawford, it says a lot, you know? And it also, I think the way that the universe works is, you go and attempt to achieve your goals and your dreams, and then the universe or God or Gaia or Buddha or whatever you believe in puts people and things in your place to help you. And it just so happens that a month after I met you, I started learning French, and not well, but
no, that's great.
It's a process, and being able to butcher the French language with you every other Saturday at the cafe has been a tremendous asset. And then also seeing you go on your journeys around the world, and now we just made a horror movie. There's a lot to discuss, so I'm looking forward for the folks out there to take in some of the wisdom of a young whippersnapper like yourself, and hopefully we can have some good things to discuss here.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Before we jump into some stuff about your life and your journeys, I wanted to review this list that you sent me the other day, because you know that I'm always looking for podcast topics. So you sent me this list of fake foods, mm-hmm. and it was very fascinating. So instead of just doing this podcast, I thought, why not have the man himself who sent me the list in the first place to comment on some of these fake foods? Because you must be somewhat passionate about it. What is your relationship with food? Are you just kind of like, do you care what you eat, or do you just cook whatever? Or kind of what's your relationship with food?
Well, I think it's grown to become more and more something that I watch out for. I think everybody does nowadays too. A lot more people look at what they're eating, right? Yourself included?
Absolutely. My body's a temple now.
Exactly, right? So
hormone optimization. Getting the testosterone as high as possible.
Yeah. Be a machine.
Yeah. I'm a shit eating machine. I got a whole bag of garlic there, and it's just because I heard it maximizes blood flow.
It's like a superfood almost. Yeah, garlic is healthy as hell for you. It's great. Yeah.
So I eat more than a vampire should not eat.
Yeah, you're definitely not a vampire. Yeah, that's for sure, right?
Vampires don't eat garlic, right? They're not allowed to.
No, it's like one of their pet peeves, right, or whatever. Like you have garlic in your house, and you know there's not going to be a vampire around, right?
Yeah, it wards them off, right? Like the voodoo spirits. Mm-hmm. What's the garlic for Indy?
Like something that wards me off.
Yeah. That if you have it in the house, Indy will be far from that house.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, of course. Fine? Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah. We're not PG rated. Yeah.
No, man. No ratings yet. Yeah. Nobody cares enough to rate the show.
Fuck. I think it'll be a thing though. You'll get there. You've got some great topics.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Including what Indy doesn't like to eat.
Yeah.
That'll be a segment, an ongoing segment.
I don't know. Like, what don't I like to eat?
You're not picky?
I try not to be anymore.
Well, you grew up in France, right? So for the audience, tell us about where you grew up and stuff.
Oh, I guess one thing. There's a French dish that I don't like. It's onion soup. I despise onion soup.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's a French dish. Yeah.
What's your beef with onion soup? There's no beef in it?
No, I don't like too much onion kills onion, you know?
I agree.
And a lot of people just really like to toss as much as they want, like a whole onion, you know? It's like, oh, well, I'm cutting this onion up, so I might as well just use the whole thing. But I don't know.
My whole family to this day will put onion in despite my likes and my preferences because they all know I hate it.
Really?
I just despise it. I'll eat onions if it's like I can't see it, if it's invisible or if it's been cooked down. But if someone just tries to put like a long worm onion on the plate and just look at me and expect me to eat it, right? Unless I'm in front of royalty or something like that, or mm-hmm. I'm eating in like a place where it would be unbecoming and weird for me to take it off the plate, it's not going down the chute. So, I'm with you on the onion soup.
Really? Like a lot of veggies that are cooked, I don't like.
Slimy.
It's slimy. That's slimy. I'm like, just give it to me raw. Like I can eat most of those veggies that are edible raw. I'll eat them raw. Yeah,
I'm the same way. Vegetables raw, even peppers. I like peppers, like red peppers, yellow peppers. Snack. It's a good snack. I've seen some people put peanut butter on it before. Have you ever done that?
No, I don't think so. Floats your boat, you know. Cheese Whiz, I'm not a fan. I won't touch that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Some people can eat it, sure.
Cheese Whiz is like 70% plastic, so I totally understand.
Plastic cheese.
Yum. It's people put on tacos too, but like you said, whatever floats your boat or sinks your ship, whatever, whatever you like.
Maybe whatever sinks your ship, but that's a good one.
But let's go into this list here. So starting at the top, let's start with wasabi because I didn't know much about wasabi until, remember last year we went ice fishing, we came back, we went to Dorinku?
Yes,
We got a big thing of sushi.
Yeah.
And they had sushi on the plate. Mm-hmm. And then you were saying something about there's fake sushi and real there is fake sushi and real sushi. Yeah. But the wasabi, you were talking about it, so.
But yeah, horseradish. That's the main way that is made here in the U.S. and everywhere. Like, what they do is they call it prepared wasabi, I think is the term. Like, if you buy one of those tubes at home, it'll say prepared wasabi, which means that it's probably fake. The only one place that makes real wasabi is in Japan, and it's considered one of the hardest plants to harvest. Like to plant and to cultivate is one of the hardest plants in the world to cultivate. So
needs the right conditions, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like it needs very constant attention. Apparently, it's like really difficult to grow, and they've started making it in laboratories. They've tried like actually supplementing it with the same kind of weather and conditions as it does in Japan, and it at least takes like 6 months, I think, something like that, close to like half of a year to just grow in a lab anyway. And there's just way too much demand for such a niche. It's a plant, but it's like the roots of it that they harvest.
So it's like radishes
it's very close to like that kind of veggies. But yeah, anything that you buy here, you'll get horseradish instead of wasabi.
Interesting. So in an effort to cut cost, and they're doing this with cocaine too now, it's being laced with fentanyl or whatever, which you think would be more expensive, but that kind of got dark. But the wasabi part, the horseradish, it does elicit the same effects. When I smell wasabi, I don't even know if I've smelled real wasabi now that you've explained it. Like, I probably never even tasted real wasabi because I've had the stuff from Earl's and Dorinku and all these other places.
Yeah.
Maybe when I go to Japan one day, I'll be able to taste wasabi for real. But the horseradish does elicit the same effects if wasabi, real wasabi, makes you cry. Because whenever I've had horseradish within my vicinity, like when I used to work at Earl's, we had a onboarding a process, or what do you call it? You had to get initiated, and they would rope you up and then dip your head into a whole vat of horseradish until you cried.
Oh my God.
until you named like five breakfast cereals or something.
Oh God.
So it was horrible. Pretty rough. But so wasabi now is, it says you're made with horseradish. Does that mean it's cut with horseradish, or it's 100% horseradish?
It's like pretty much it's made with like that recipe, that that tube you'll get is horseradish with some cornstarch and some other like salt or whatever, like product,
and a green dye, obviously,
and a green dye, yeah, yeah,
because horseradish is white, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so another thing you'll find is that real wasabi, to tell the difference, it'll be way grainier, almost like you know, like powdered green tea. Apparently, mm-hmm. it'll be like grainy, and it will
like matcha.
Like matcha, yeah. And also, it'll be actually way duller than what you think wasabi will be like. It won't be as strong as horseradish one.
Okay.
Yeah, like very, very mild compared to horseradish wasabi.
Okay. So people might have this perception that wasabi is supposed to be super spicy, but the real stuff is a little bit tamer.
It's way tamer, apparently, yeah.
Interesting.
Haven't tried it myself yet, but I'm willing to go to like one of those health foods and buy my own root just to try it out. Yeah.
Wasabi, fake foods. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it says here should not be smooth and isn't usually as strong as horseradish based. Yeah, so mm-hmm. Okay, next time you go to get sushi, folks, ask for, be like, hey, listen, I know you got this horseradish shit, like, give me the real wasabi stuff, all right? Mm-hmm. And the guy at the back would be like, oh, they asked for the real stuff.
They know.
Okay, yeah. We will get you access to the secret sauce.
And then they open just like a back door, and it's like the actual VIP lounge or whatever. The people that know wasabi's fake.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, welcome.
Yeah.
You have figured out our secret.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up we got Parmesan. So Parmesan is fake?
Yeah.
Like the cheese from the Italian Center?
Mm-hmm. Well,
or at the restaurants or Chianti's that they put on your pasta?
Well, I think, so this one is, there's only so many places that make real 100% authentic Parmesan cheese,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you can get it pretty much anywhere in the world. Like, it's not, it is only made in one county of Italy, like the real authentic Parmesan cheese,
okay.
right? Like the one that you'll be like, wow, like that's not, I've never had Parmesan until now, you know?
Okay.
Like, but a lot of it is actually real. The only problem is, I heard somebody was talking about this when I was reading, is like, on the best end of things, you're getting fake food. You're getting like something that isn't what you're expecting, but it's still good. Like, you won't get something from it. But on the bad end of fake foods, you'll get poisoned.
Jeez.
You know? So like, Parmesan cheese is more on...
harmless.
It's mostly harmless, and what it is that some places in the US, right, or in Canada, I don't know where the factories are, they make actual Parmesan cheese. It's just not gonna be as crazy as the real Italian deal.
So the place in Italy where they make it, this is the real authentic, but on your list here it says that it has cellulose from wood pulp and rice flour.
Yeah, so
is that
like
how
that's the real fake ones, like like the cheap ones that you can get in the store probably still are cut with like the wood pulp and the rice flour, probably. Yeah,
wood pulp.
I
like
know
like a shop. someone making a table or a chair would be like, hey honey, we got some extra sawdust or whatever, do you want me to refine it so you can put it into our spaghetti later tonight? Like,
I think that's what they mean. Like, no joke, I was reading into it. Yeah, I'm like, wood pulp, what? And yeah, like very fine grind wood. I mean, wood is technically edible.
You know what this is all reminding me of? Is there was a Subway story that came out of Ireland, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago. The CBC did a documentary about all the chickens out of all the fast food restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, Subway, Wendy's, McDonald's, and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And they brought they ordered the same chicken sandwich from all the restaurants, put it in a lab, and then had a chemist break down the actual makeup of the chicken to see how much of it was actually chicken.
Yeah, I remember that.
Number one was Wendy's. It was, like, 85% chicken. Which is still not great, but at least it's like most of the way there. Like, yeah. We're talking on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Subway
was the worst.
It was like 15% chicken and then 85% tofu, which is soy.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Like, now, like after I read that, I remember I told myself I will never go to a Subway ever again. Because I'm mainly like, I like my chicken. I really do. Like, beef, most of the time. But like chicken, it's so easy.
Oh yeah,
it's
for sure.
Like you can't really go wrong with a chicken burger or whatever, you know?
Absolutely not, yeah. Man. Those are the P's and Q's. Remember we were coming back from camping? I took you to Wendy's and we got the Asiago chicken sandwich?
Yeah.
Just man, solid.
It hits the spot.
That's time. Highway 2 food.
Yeah.
That gets you down the... That gets you from Airdrie to Edmonton in about 10 minutes.
It really does.
So how can we tell what real Parmesan is?
So that's the thing. The real deal will have like crest, like crystallized like pieces inside of Parmesan, and okay. That will have like pockets of really, really nutty flavoring. I guess like it'll just be a very different cheese that you're used to compared to. Like I could go on for days, man. French cheese, oh, it's not the same deal than what we've get where we're getting here. Cheese is considered a protein almost, right?
Right,
but.
Yeah, it's milk.
You'd be like, this is your cheese. This is what the stew or the meat's going to be. And then you get your wine on the side. Like, all of it together makes the dish, right?
I don't see fromage on this list, but if you wanted to start a revolution in France, you would just pull this stunt where you just cut all the cheese with, wasabi or something. Or
just so yeah, double like, cut. Make, put the wood pulp in there and be like, yeah. Everyone would be outraged more than they yeah. already are in France.
Yeah, your fromage is really wood pulp and horseradish.
Yeah, you're welcome. Like, what the?
Yeah. The revolution.
Yeah, yeah, we'd start the third one for sure.
Exactly. Okay, so nutty flavors, that's how you know it's real Parmesan, folks. Mm-hmm. So next time you're at Chianti's, be like, listen, I don't want any freaking wood pulp in my spaghetti, okay?
Yeah, like, hey, you can keep the wood out of this. Yeah. All right.
What did my pasta ever do to you?
Yeah.
Maple syrup. So talk to us about what's in the maple syrup. What's going on with the maple syrup here? And I think that Canadians have a hunch or are a little bit more aware of this, but anybody from other countries might not be aware.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's to do with like any kind of sugar-based thing. Like the first one that I found was honey. Like one of the most honey is fake, by the way. We'll talk about that. But yeah, like maple syrup. How hard can it be to just make a sugar syrup and put a little bit of like red dye in there to make it look brown or something, you know?
It's probably the easiest.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, it's also, to that point though, it's also probably the easiest to detect.
I think so.
Because real maple syrup, once you've had real maple syrup,
you know.
Yeah. Like, whoa, this is like...
Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways to tell is that real stuff should actually be thinner. I wrote thick on mine, but the real stuff will be a little thinner than fake one. And also, if the bottle... Okay, this one they say, if the bottle says 100% real maple syrup, I can believe that, but at the same time, the FDA has found some companies that write 100%. I think the best deal for that, in Canada, I think it's one of the hardest ones to find fake syrup. But a big deal that people say is, well, if it's more expensive, then it's the real stuff. I don't think that's the right way to think about that.
Yeah, a la Seagate, deep sea diving. Just because it costs $250,000 doesn't mean he's not using an Xbox controller to navigate the depths. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I think the test of like thickness is probably the easiest way to figure it out. If it's more syrupy,
the viscosity
of it, right? Like it does come out of a tree. It can just be super, super tacky, even though it gets there when it's cold, right?
Right.
Like it's still a syrup.
When I grew up, the way I kind of was able to realize, because everyone knew what Aunt Jemima was, like it was just a syrup fake shit, right?
Ooh,
and but they didn't advertise it like that.
Yeah.
But the real stuff always came in a can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you actually had to like can it open.
Yeah. And another way they say is if it says pancake syrup or table syrup, that's the real tell that it's fake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just want you exactly. Not maple syrup. Denny's. They're not going to have real maple syrup unless you ask for it, right? Mm-hmm, they might have some in the back, but that's not what's on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be like way too expensive. It's one of the most expensive commodities in the world. That's why there was that maple syrup heist in the 80s or 90s. The most Canadian heist ever, by the way. A bunch of bandits stealing maple syrup on the high seas of Quebec. Like
That sounds like a great story.
Yeah, that should be on Netflix. I'm not sure what they're doing.
I think
over
so. That would be a great show.
And along the lines of syrups and sugars here, I actually get honey from the farmer's market, so I hope the stuff I get is real, but talk to me about honey.
Yeah, well, honey is one of those that, first of all, buy it from your local dealer. Like, get it from a farmer, for real. If you can, that's the 100% rate of you getting real honey. Like, you're never going to find a farmer that's gotten an actual beehive that's just going to give you fake stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you're a self-respecting farmer anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of those horrible ones. There is an ongoing war with that stuff, you know? Like, honey wars. Honey is one of the most ludicrous, horrible scandal. Like, none of the stuff that you get in a store is going to be real unless it's actually, like, from a local, you know? Like, supermarkets, I don't believe they've got any of the real stuff. It's all going to be cut to such a small percentage of real honey, and it's so hard to tell because, so, in the whole FDA world, you can, like, they can go microscopic and find that it's not real honey, but they can also, like, honey that goes around the world is cut, just like we were talking, like that cocaine and fentanyl thing. It's the same deal. Like, people will just put batches from different countries, from, let's say, well, so China,
yeah,
has barely any bees. How are you going to find out made in China honey? This is not possible. So a lot of places will they'll actually sell deals for China honey to go and get canned into another country to make it so that it says made in Spain, made in whatever. Like, Chinese honey goes into literally every single country and gets bottled with other stuff, and there's just such a high demand for honey that's how the world works for this, you know?
Right. It's amazing how fraud isn't applied to these cases.
Mm-hmm. It's just because it's impossible. Like, the regulations for honey just says that it has to have, like, a certain amount of different kinds of sugars, and then it can be called honey. So it doesn't have, like, literally people can just put fructose and sugars and boil it down and make themselves honey. And that can be put on the shelf and be called honey. It's crazy.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's fraud at the highest order. But like you said, all they have to do is check a few boxes and then they're Gucci, right? So the honey I get at the farmer's market, I cook with it all the time. I put it into my meats when I'm cooking, pastas. It's replaced sugar. My mom actually does that too, where she'll use honey and maple syrup, hopefully the real stuff, as a placeholder for sugar if the recipe calls for it.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that's like the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, having, like, white sugar is one of the worst things you can get in your body.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same effects in your body, literally. Like, as far as addiction and...
Yeah. Back in the day, when they found honey or sugar, you know, like, refined sugar, like, whoa. We're on the gold mine right here.
Oh, yeah.
We got to keep this going. This is the train. This is the money maker.
This is the money maker.
Yeah.
Well, the glucose, our bodies were not adapted from hunter-gatherers to have a lot of spare excess glucose just running free. Like, in the hunter-gatherer tribes that still exist in the world, like in Africa and stuff, I've seen documentaries about how they get food and stuff. They get mostly meats, a lot of fats, some like grains and roots and stuff like that. The only other sugar they get is from honey, actually. So honey, mm-hmm. with bees and bees in Africa, they'll put their nests way up in the trees, and they obviously, the tribes have learned that the honey's up there, so they'll go there and like once every like 2-3 months they'll just like gorge and get like three or four spoonfuls of honey. But there's no Kit Kat bars in between those 3 months, right? Like, that's all their sugar they're getting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes me trust honey, because, like, it's from nature, right? It's mm-hmm. it's the bees made it for us, so it can't be too fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, we got truffle oil. I'm not super familiar with truffle oil. I know there's a trend going on with truffle oil with, like, chips, where different chip companies are starting to put, like, truffle aioli, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or restaurants like Earl's and Joey's have truffle oil chips or truffle fries. Or
That one was never something I looked into until I saw that on the, like, truffle oil. I'm like, what if... I've never heard of truffle oil. Like, so... Truffle is a mushroom that grows underneath trees, and it's typically, like, there's a big thing back in France. Like, you go truffle hunting with your dog or with, like, a pig or whatever.
Right.
Like, but so...
Only a certain dog can smell it, right?
You got to teach them. Yeah, just right. Like pigs, you got to teach them to go and not to eat it or not to damage it too, right?
You got to teach a pig not to eat?
Yeah,
holy, I know. Smokes.
Yeah, so they don't do that with pigs anymore. They do it with dogs now anyway. But, like, three countries that I know are, like, the main producers or cultivators, I guess, are in France, Italy, and the UK. Like, those are, like, that kind of climate, I guess, is where truffle gets to thrive.
Right.
So, yeah, you find it under trees. And so, it's one thing that they, I guess, you, like, shave it on top of, like, your dish. Like, truffle is a pretty strong taste.
Yeah.
So... I guess so.
Pretty poignant.
Pretty poignant. So they make truffle oil, which I've never seen ever, really. I've never seen it in a store, really. Maybe I don't pay attention to it, but it's not kept in oil, first of all. Like, truffle is just something that you should have. Like, you should have that nugget of truffle, and when you want to use it, you start shaving it on top of
your
dish. It's
like ginger.
It's not the same. It's very earthy.
Right.
Yeah, and it just elevates your dish, really. Like, it's like an extra little flavor that you won't find anywhere else.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I've so that's a really... That's just like wasabi. You don't get that much.
Right. Nature doesn't produce a lot of it naturally. So, I've seen those, like, three-star Michelin restaurants on those YouTube channels where they're cooking and stuff, and mm-hmm. the guy will show up to the plate and... They almost add it to your dish like a finisher, like a Parmesan.
Yeah, like Parmesan, pretty much.
And then they just bring out a truffle ball and shave it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa. And I think, like, every shave is like $3 or $4.
Yeah. So, like, I think something like maybe 3 inches in diameter is like $100.
Damn.
Yeah.
Valuable commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're making it fake, right? So what are they cutting it with here? It says olive oil, sunflower oil, all the bad stuff. Olive oil is great. Mm-hmm. Sunflower, any kind of sunflower oil and 2.4
diethylene or something.
Diethylene.
1 second here, yeah.
Anything I can't pronounce, I don't eat. That's just a solid rule of thumb.
The thiapatine or something like that. Yeah, anyway. But that one is actually pretty bad for you. It's found to be carcinogenic.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
So that's a
big surprise there.
That's the poison right there. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the thing I can't pronounce is bad for me?
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, exactly. I know.
Yeah. Fuck, holy smokes.
And that specific, I guess, product, they use it because it actually smells like feet. And truffles has that, like, kind of earthy smell to it. So that's, like, the kicker. This is, like... the thing you should add to the olive oil or, like, the sunflower oil to just, oh yeah, that's truffle oil right there. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
What do we got up next? Vanilla.
I think that one's...
That's pretty obvious.
I think that one people can tell, like, there's no way, right?
Yeah.
They can't make that much vanilla.
Yeah, there's bottles and bottles of it. Yeah, it's definitely cut. It's the easiest thing to synthesize to, and people put into essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably skim over that, but an easy way to tell if it's fake vanilla is the extract will be cloudy and smell a lot, like, stronger than alcohol. So it'll have, like, an alcohol kind of vibe to
it. Yeah, because, like, usually you buy concentrate... And that concentrate is cut with actual alcohol. So the real stuff will be, like, very, very strong.
Right. You don't need a lot of it.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of extract of vanilla to make a dish or anything, really.
Yeah.
And but one thing I want to talk about is, I think back a few years, they actually were making fake vanilla flavoring with tonka tree. And tonka tree is known to be... toxic for you. Like, it's not something you should ever put in your body.
What is tonka?
It's a tree. I haven't made more of a research on that one, but tonka tree, look into it. Yeah,
holy shit. Thank you for tuning into InfoWars. We got the tonka tree extract coming on. Okay, up next we got caviar. I saw this documentary on Discovery Channel or one of those shows, and they were, like, talking about caviar and how they, you know, they farm sturgeon and then mm-hmm. they just cut them open, and it just turned me off to it. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to support this.
Yeah. First of all, don't support caviar. But second of all, a lot of it can be fake too. So if you were to buy some, maybe check it out. So usually they just cut it out with cheaper fish eggs. It's the easiest trick in the book, I think. You know? Well,
yeah, we all fish make eggs.
Yeah, all fish make eggs, so why not just put different ones in there? The ones that look the same, who's going to tell, really?
Yeah, what a rich, pompous food, too, eh? Mm-hmm. Oh, what'd you need? Oh, fish eggs? You need to kill a mother and eat her whole litter? You sick animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you put it that way, I guess.
I don't know. Maybe I'm on a moral high horse here. I think
that's true, though. Yeah. I'm on the same boat here. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see why you'd need to get yourself just some. Oh, you know what? There's only so many of these eggs on the planet. That's going to make me feel so great to eat them, of course.
After 15 of those baby eggs, you get ideas about raising taxes and shit. Those guys are the New World Order. Those guys can eat shit.
I think so, yeah.
Eat shit and die, those guys. Let's see here. Caviar, olive oil. This one is a little bit disturbing to me because I drink a lot of olive oil. Like, not do shots of it, but... although that'd be a really good dare if you wanted to dare someone to do a shot of olive oil, if they could handle it. It'd be a lot of fat.
Yeah, I mean, olive oil is not bad, though.
No, it's really good for you, but it sounds like lot of it is not real.
So, yeah, back in the day, actually, when they started saying how olive oil was one of the best things you could put in your body, that's when it really kicked in, because people wanted olive oil.
Demand.
Yeah, so at that point, the Italian mafia was like, well, you know what? I think we can make some money on this.
That's not how they said it. They said, you know what, Paul Sam, you know, I think we can make some money here, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to join the family business? I need you to go rough up Tony. He's got the Janko olive oil stand.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him we're going to start cutting his stuff and increase the profits about 40%. Buonasera.
Okay, Don. I'm on it.
All right. You come to me on the day of my daughter's olive oil ceremony. And you ask me this question.
That's good.
No, but you were saying... the mafia is responsible for the cutting of olive oil in the first place.
Yeah.
That's spicy. That's kind of the number one extra. I feel like that's one of the biggest exports out of Italy.
Yeah, it is. And so when you look at a map of the biggest county that sends olive oil outside of the country, and you look at where the mafia is mostly centered around, those maps...
They overlap.
They overlap a lot. A lot.
Oh. Coincidence? I think not.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, back in the day, well, it's been a thing that Italy, I think that's what they should do in Canada for the maple, for the maple syrup. They have an actual, like, police force that is dedicated to taking down olive oil facilities that are making fake stuff.
Olive oil policia.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What a job. What do you do? I track down olive oil bandits who are lacing it with cheap seed oils and old olives that make it taste rancid and bad.
Yeah.
And you know why? I think this is one of the easier ones to fake, because when you open a bottle of olive oil, you're not smelling it right away. You're cooking with it.
Yeah.
So by the time it's hit the frying pan or the heat's on it, I imagine a lot of the, unless it's really bad rancid shit, a lot of the smell is not going to get it to your nose, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, olive oil generally doesn't have a very pungent smell to it anyway, right? It's like, it's somewhat tamer. Like, it's a milder tone to it compared to, I don't know, other kind of cooking ingredients.
But it's a super high profit margin. I'd be very curious to know how much it costs them to produce like a 750ml bottle. Like that one I have over there, that 750ml bottle, that cost me $35.
Yeah, I know, eh? So, that's it. They make money off of that for sure. Yeah. So one of the big ways to tell, though, is what they say is that whatever bottle says extra virgin oil, extra olive, like...
cold pressed.
Yeah, like extra virgin olive oil should be the right stuff. But I think that's just like if you trust a label again, if we come back to this, right? Like 100% maple syrup. like I think the labeling probably isn't the thing that you should tell, because that's been known to be fake first. So what you should do is usually the numbers tell on that one. If you buy the expensive one, it's better. But again, I don't know if you really want to go that way, because bottles of olive oil go for a price, right? As we just discussed.
And I got a middle of the road one. Like mm-hmm. the Italian Center, $35 is kind of the average medium price. If you go up and go like crazy, you could get a $70, $80 bottle. And I would be choked if that ended up being fake. Mm-hmm. I might go there and start a riot. Be I like, know, where's this mafia member who sold this shit in here?
Yeah. So it's crazy. It's olive oil is made mostly in Italy, and it's faked mostly there too. That's a family business right there, right?
Yeah. And it's not like they're bad and we're good. Like maple syrup guys do it here too, right? So mm-hmm. this is... I think that's the whole point of this podcast is not everyone's got our best intentions at our heart here when it comes to what we put in our bodies. So they use the good name of these products to lace it with disgusting shit that, and actually what the most amazing thing is not the act, but that they can make it taste in a way that it doesn't raise red flags. Unless mm-hmm. like what we're telling you what to look for with the taste and the smells and stuff. But unless you knew what to look for, you wouldn't know unless it was obvious that what you're buying or what you're putting in your fridge is like off.
Mm-hmm.
Like these chemists, whoever is designing these products, they've kind of got food tasting chemistry down to a science.
Yeah, yeah. And that happens in a lot of things, right? Like McDonald's making their burgers.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a chemical burger right there, you know? Yeah. Like that's not, I mean, they say it's real burgers, but I don't know if I really want to trust it saying that it's 100% real beef. There's definitely some like taste enhancers in there, I think.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, they're playing with our taste buds. They've mapped out our tongue pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the burgers where it says Mac regret. That's what it says. Yeah.
But so to get back, I guess, on olive oil, one of the big things is that nowadays it isn't fake. The only thing is that the extra virgin is more of a debatable thing. So extra virgin means that it's been taken off the ground as soon as they're ripe. You know, like usually right. the olive will fall off the tree and it's swept out right away. And then it's put into a cold press right away.
Hasn't been ripe.
Yeah,
hasn't
exactly. Ripe. Yeah. So usually nowadays, this is the big concern, is that they don't actually have extra virgin olives put into extra virgin olive oil.
Hmm.
But like, because apparently, yeah, the policia has been doing a pretty good job at keeping it safe. So,
hey, I imagine they're pretty diligent, right? This is and this is a point of pride, right? This is
exactly
they're kind of nationally known for it. So, they want to keep it authentic and pure. They don't want people doing podcasts about how fucking rigged it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like us. The police are going to show up and be like, is this Hakeem's dream show?
Yeah.
You are talking bad of our olive oil.
That's good.
Okay, so Wagyu.
Yeah, Wagyu.
Like Wagyu.
Beef. Wagyu beef, right?
Yeah, Wagyu beef. What is Wagyu?
So that's like a super specific breed of cow. For like specific beef, like
it's not a dish.
I'm pretty sure it's a breed of cow specifically that's going to be a Wagyu.
Okay.
And what they found a lot, especially here nowadays, like it's getting way more traction than it used to, right?
Yeah. It's like, a buzz. It's a buzzword.
It's a buzz because it's like there's like Angus beef and then there's Wagyu beef.
Mm.
Yeah. So Wagyu is a bit of a buzzword, but it's also just a very expensive meat, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or that's what it used to be. That's where my understanding is it's more, the fat is more evenly distributed in the actual like muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So in a steak here, you'll find that the fat is kind of, maybe it's like big blotches of it, or it's on the side or the perimeter of the steak.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Wagyu, it kind of like the fat is line nicely in like a big grid of fat in between the muscle,
and it'll melt away into the meat as it gets cooked, right?
It's it's like having butter in the steak
already. Yeah. You don't have to use exactly. So one of the big things I guess is in the US that they breed 50% Angus and 50% Wagyu cows, so it's not 100% Wagyu. That's one of the big things. Like it's one of those things that's on the better end of that spectrum we were talking about, right? It's like, you're not getting poisoned, but it's not Wagyu beef.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And what is this about Wagyu being from Japan?
So that's where the breed is mainly coming from. Like, all those Wagyu beef cuts that you're going to get are going to be sold to specific restaurants around the world, and those will have like actual certificates that real 100% Wagyu beef is sold here.
I thought the Wagyu thing with Japan was like, it can't be Wagyu unless it's from Japan, the same way that Scotch can't be Scotch unless it's from Scotland, and so on and so forth.
And I think that's true. So, to like the nth degree. But I mean, if you were to import like your own Wagyu cows and treat them the same way wherever you are,
right?
I think you could somewhat it won't be the Japanese Wagyu though.
Right, because they have a climate. Obviously, it's the grass the cow is eating there, the way that they're getting massaged every night before bed.
Yeah, I
heard that was bullshit, but like,
but you know what I mean, treated right? Nice, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so yeah, unless you're a steak snob, which I'm becoming very slowly, it's probably not that important. But it is good to know that it could be a fake food. Mm-hmm. And USA genes are mixed with Angus. So yeah. Angus is just like it's a beef cow from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's so a different breed of cow.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you know if it's a real Wagyu? Restaurants will not have Wagyu certified plaques.
Yeah.
Restaurants that really serve Wagyu
will have those like placards or certificates.
So they're certified.
Some actual way to tell that they're getting sent Japanese Wagyu, usually.
Yeah. So if it's on the menu, be like, sir, I need to see your certification. It's
yeah.
Like you're
I think at this point, you're totally like that person that's serving you should probably be ready to show you that certificate. Like if you're actually like a snob, there's no way you're just buying a Wagyu just because you're not into it, you know?
And guarantee if they're putting that Wagyu on the menu, there's a price.
Yes.
So if it's $80-$90 for ribeye, I mean, let me see that goddamn certification, sir.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
They're going to go in the back and just print one off of Google. Just yeah. Do some like design in Adobe Finish, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, here you go. Sorry, it took us so long.
Yeah, no, that was it right there. Here you go. We had a... Okay, and one thing is they probably would have that just like at the start of the restaurant as you walk in, right? Just a plaque, you know, you're in the vestibule and you see it on top. You're like, oh, well, look at that. They got a Wagyu certified. They yeah, might, and actually, I was reading, they also get like statues of like a cow's head.
Okay.
With like a bottom insignia that says like Wagyu beef certified.
Like a taxidermy, like a real cow?
No, like a statue.
Oh,
like
statue.
I don't know, like made out of some kind of metal, right?
Oh.
Like it's almost like a, yeah.
It's like they're praising the cow gods.
Yeah. I mean, if you're buying Wagyu, you must be somewhat of a snob to like want that kind of a steak. So yeah. you're praying for,
oh yeah,
for the sure. Cow gods a little bit.
You know? Yeah, you wake up and just think about beef.
The guy just
beef, baby. AAA.
Yeah.
AAA Wagyu. All right, next is another contentious item that is one of the most prominent commodities in the world, coffee. So it's saying coffee is fake foods. Fake mm-hmm. foods. So what's going on with this?
First of all, if you buy ground up coffee beans, I think you should expect that it's probably not going to be 100%. You know, there's a lot of it that could just be faked at some point here. So one of the big thing is that the ground ones can be found grounded up with like acorn, barley, any kind of wheats really. And it can also be found, they used to find traces of burnt paper or wood dust. Also like that wood pulp thing that could have been mixed in. Just, you know, you put a few percent of that into the mix, who's going to know? Who's going to know?
Yeah, exactly. That's disgusting. But coffee's a difficult one because I know they have ramped up production, but that is cut with paper and dust. What the fuck?
I know. I was looking into this and yeah, apparently they found traces of that in some of them. I could not tell you where and what though. But the safest thing is just buy your own beans and
from
ground
where?
Them up yourself.
Like go to the source in those countries?
No, don't go to the source. I think like get the bean. Like you can buy the whole beans in the store too.
Right. The like, whole bean can't be cut.
Yeah, exactly. So like that's probably the easiest thing to do is don't get yourself ground up coffee. Which coffee snobs, you guys know, you're never gonna buy ground up coffee anyway. You're gonna grind it up yourself and make your own recipe at home.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to put your weed grinder to the side that you make your hash in and throw some coffee beans in there and make your own goddamn coffee, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
I mean, I could see people doing that. I think people do that.
I believe so, yeah.
Like, or they buy the pods for Nespresso, right? Or
yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Keurigs as well. I'm not sure if like all of it is good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
powdered sugar in there.
Like, I'll have it if I'm at somebody's house and it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time I'm like, you know,
it's really easy.
It's kind of got a plasticky synthetic mm-hmm. taste to it. And that just could be me, but I've always found like the organic, you know, real coffee from the third wave cafes. Maybe this stuff that with the wooden stuff is from Tim Hortons.
I could see it.
Because a lot of people bitch about Tim Hortons. Like, it's typically just rock fuel. Now,
right? Like, that whole scandal about recipes or whatever, how like McDonald's has the original Tim Hortons one or whatever. Well, I don't drink coffee personally, so I don't really know a whole lot about it, but yeah, I hear people talk about that.
I heard the beef between Timmy's and McDonald's was the farms where Tim Hortons used to get their beans, they sold it to the McDonald's group or whoever the ownership is of McDonald's, or the farmers traded hands. So the McDonald's coffee we're tasting today, that used to be Tim Hortons coffee.
Mm.
So they just switch farms.
Okay, makes sense. But
to Tim Hortons' benefit, now they're making fucking pigs in a blanket and calling themselves a coffee and donut shop. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've gone, by the way, the dodo bird, as far as I'm concerned. But I'll eat it in a pinch, but it's not my first choice.
All right.
How can we know if coffee is real? Like you said, look into the actual certified stamps. Go to the store and buy it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See if there's paper and burnt wood dust on the label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one will definitely be on the label.
What if maybe that's how they lie and say, you know how they have different profile or flavor notes?
Yeah.
It's like, this one is earthy.
Yeah,
honestly, code for wood?
I don't know, but that's, to me anyway, coffee kind of just doesn't taste really good. A really good cup of coffee does taste pretty decent, though. Like, when you get a really good one. But most of the stuff you get in stores is not really, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The cheapest stuff I get is, like, when I go camping, I'll get the instant coffee. But
that one's probably got a little bit of dust in there.
Oh, for sure. But that's what I like when I go to the mountains, you know?
Yeah.
I wake up in the woods, I might as well. If I'm not going to eat some tree bark, I might as well drink it, right?
I like it.
So, next and last on the list of fake foods, we got saffron. I don't even know what saffron is. It's very similar to what was earlier, truffle. Truffle and saffron, I have no idea, but I've seen saffron restaurants.
Yeah, well, saffron is like a very, very delicate spice, right? Like, that was one of the main ones that was in the Silk Road back in the day. Like, that was a very hot commodity. And to the surprise of maybe a few people, it still is one of the most expensive ones on the market. Like, it's a rare thing to get. And so a lot of things that usually get, like, you don't get all, it's not just fake saffron. Usually it's just, if you buy the cheap stuff, you're going to get a lot of it for a cheap price. And it's definitely going to have coconut filaments, horse hair, or hay in there, is what they've been saying.
What the hell? Horse hay. Hay and horse hair.
Yeah.
Great.
So
what does it look like sand? What does it look like?
No, so it looks like filaments. It's like very thin.
Is it stringy?
It's stringy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
But saffron, so the way you can tell, I guess, if you're getting the real stuff is if you put it in hot water. So the saffron is like a filament in the flour. So it's very delicate. You have to pick it by hand
mm-hmm.
and take it out and put it in a container, whatever. So they say that if you put it in hot water and it's keeping its shape, that it'll be real saffron. So if you put it in hot water and then you pull it out and it starts to like dissolve into your hand, then it's probably fake stuff.
I feel like that's a good test. It's amazing to me that these are tests that we have to do to make sure.
I know.
It's like, honey, did you test the saffron?
Mm-hmm.
Get the hot water out.
Get the hot water out. Let's try it.
Yeah, let's make sure we're not eating horse hair tonight.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But, okay, interesting. This is a good list. Wasabi all the way to saffron. I think we covered all our bases, and people are better off for it. So thank you for taking us through this list, man.
Yeah, no worries.
That was good. And speaking of the Silk Road and foods from around the world, earlier this year you were in, and by the way, this has been a long year. I feel like this, you went there last year, but
I know this year has like quadrupled in length. I feel like it's been a
still
been
2 months hot, left.
Yeah, I know.
And in the first 2 months of this year, you were, I think you were just leaving in the third or fourth week of January, but tell us about where you went and why.
Oh, I went in Nepal. It's been an adventure. I was there for almost 2 months, for around, well, maybe less, like a month and a half, 40 days or so. Yeah. And I don't know, it's been, I've got a lot of bucket list things and I'm trying to get rid of them sooner rather than later. I feel like a lot of these things you should do when you're still able to appreciate everything and do everything, you know?
Yeah, have all the energy.
Yeah, exactly. Have the energy to do these things. I can see people doing it later in their lives, but I don't know. I feel like, don't you want to be able to tell your grandkids? You'd be like, hey, you know, when I was your age, I was in that country. I climbed all the way to, what did I do? 4,500 meters of altitude, and it kicked my ass. You should do it too.
Yeah, the one thing about your travels that I find super interesting is that you're like a really skilled and talented photographer, and you got all the tools. You got the DSLR, you got the drone, you got all that stuff. So every time you go to one of these places, like when you went to Peru, like some of the shots you took at the Peruvian or the Andes were unbelievably beautiful. Like, and even here in Alberta, like the stuff you took of that old mine by
Nordegg.
Yeah, like that stuff is sick. It's super cinematic. So it's really cool stuff. Where does the artistic, cinematic, artistic photographer indie meet the traveling indie? Like, did one feed the other?
Yeah, one feeds the other for sure. I want to make memories. Like, my main goal is to make stuff that is going to last in my brain forever. And you can make that at home too. It really depends. But I feel like those big trips, I am not, as much as I am somewhat of a homebody, I cannot stand being in one place for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And these trips allow me to like feed my batteries, you know, like just giving me all my energy back so that I can come back and do another work, a year of work, you know.
One of the stories you told me when you went to Nepal was about these guys who went into an elephant reserve and died or something like that. Oh,
yeah.
What was that story? That sounded like crazy to me.
Yeah, that was a day after I left, actually. That was crazy. Yeah. So there is like a, it's not a resort. It's like a
wildlife care facility, reserve,
I guess. Okay. Yeah, like a reserve almost. Yeah, because the elephants are, as you know, they're like poached by a lot of people. So there's a less and less of them around. So they have that reserve there with quite a few of them that are semi-wild, right? Like they're tame to a degree. And so what happened is that this reserve doesn't have any gates. You can't have gates for elephants, first of all. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, exactly. They're tiny.
God damn, you're in Nepal. There's no way they're making like 10 feet tall, like cement walls for protecting this place.
Yeah.
And nor should you anyway. Leave them wild and roaming. So what happened is a troop of wild elephants came pretty close to the reserve, and one of them is a known offender. It's a male elephant that's known to be a little raunchy and wants to get with the female captivated ones. Yeah. And what happened is he got very territorial and saw a human that was just like roaming around, which, first of all, like, that place is pretty nice. You should go and visit. But if you don't know the area and you're going to walk around, like, I was told when I was there, like, hey, watch out for wild elephants. They come pretty close. And it's known for that place to have there's a specific rhinoceros that lives in those forests. And that's where you go. You go there to see that. You know, like, you're trying to get a sighting of that rhinoceros, which I did see.
Cool.
It was really fast, though. And I got a blurry picture. Fuck me, right? Only saw it once, too.
I thought rhinos were only in Africa.
That's the thing. I believe they're called Indian rhinoceroses.
Wow.
I'll have to look into it again for that.
Interesting.
But maybe look at home too. In Nepal, there's one specific. It's a one-horned rhino, is a thing.
One horny rhino.
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, it has only one horn instead of two on its head. So that's what you come to see. And those rhinos are known to like kind of travel and go into the city as well.
Just for a bag of milk or what?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're like, I'm going to go, you know what? I haven't gone to town in a while. Yeah, Let's go and check what's going on over there. Yeah. And so when that happens, you should, like, everybody notifies you and any tourist, anybody. They know, like, hey, you know, there's a lot of wildlife around here. And a lot of those big guys can just fucking kill you. So be close to a place that you can hide in, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And so that guy didn't really follow suit. And he was just walking around at a place that I've walked. My guide, the next day, was telling me, as we're on the way back, he's like, hey, so that place that we took a picture of, that day that we took like a nature walk together, that's where he got stomped to death.
Damn.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, it's not just a, you know, it's one thing to hear like, hey, somebody got killed in this place. But being told, hey, somebody got killed in a place that you've been, you're like, oh, fuck. That's a little bit more real. You
totally.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you were, it could have been you.
Right? It could have been me. Yeah, exactly.
That's some twisty, well, must make you think and, you know, wake up and be like, oh, thank God I'm alive today. You know, like got another kick at the can.
Yeah, for real.
I wasn't on the business end of a freaking rhino or an elephant today.
Yeah.
But so tell us about your photography, because I know that you've done business in the past where you offer your services as way, like you just like do photo shoots and stuff or mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, super casual. Like what do you do with that? Like do you offer that, or is it just kind of a casual thing or on the side, or like what goes on with your photography?
Yeah, well, it's kind of on the side still. I'd like to make it more of a real deal. I've got my own business for it now. I would like to do like business shootings, stuff like that, like actual like photography for buildings and all that stuff. I feel like that I couldn't do weddings. That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of gear for that. You need multiple cameras, all that jazz, maybe a second photographer with you, you know, like it's crazy. I've been to a few weddings and those guys are on the ball.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, they have a whole program and they bring in extra people. But yeah, it seems like a lot of stress.
Yeah, exactly.
But everything short of a wedding, you can like just provide photography services, right? Like
yes, yeah.
Standalone like, shots.
Portraits.
Portraits.
All that stuff. Yeah.
That's sure. Awesome. Yeah, and you have a pretty good eye. Like we'll talk about this now, I guess. This horror movie we made called, what's it called?
Don't Stare.
Don't Stare. We'll launch it probably in the coming weeks here. We just did a shooting around where we live here on Strathcona, just off 83rd Ave. There's a really cool old vibe, and there's a lady who does ghost tours around here. And one night I was just looking out my window and thinking, man, what if there was someone just staring up at me? Mm-hmm. And I could stare it back down and then chase them and see what happened, or like just kind of investigate and inquire. So Indy and I ran with that idea, and we made a really cool little short horror slash psychological thriller random
yeah
maybe or something like that.
That's some pretty big words for an amateur videography
this thing, is how you gotta sell it. Indie.
That's fair
we gotta over promise and then over deliver.
That's true. Yeah, this is shot on a professional camera with professional equipment,
and that's true. Like you have all the real shit. Like you have the lights, you have all the motion cameras, you have the DSLRs, you have the and even like the way we shot each scene, like we put a lot of thought into this. So we're looking forward to sharing that with people. Don't Stare.
Mm-hmm. Don't Stare. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool project.
That'll be on YouTube. I've got my own channel. It's after my name, Indy Barrett. It's pretty easy.
Amazing. Yeah. We're going to throw that on there. I'll put it on my Instagram as well. And if I can find a way to get it on my phone, it'll probably be a pretty big file.
For sure. Yeah. Maybe even just like, you know, a trailer version or like the first minute of it. And then you can have the link to the long version of it or whatever. A
little teaser if you want to see the rest.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. That's a good idea. Indy, so you got a few travels coming up, right? What do you got going on for next year as far as seeing the world? This year we went to Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we're going hunting in a few weeks.
Yeah, we're going hunting. So looking so much forward to this. That'll be a great experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to become men out there. Chase these does in the bush.
Those are things that really, like, I want to learn about, you know?
Yeah.
There's
trekking, about being in the forest, yeah, learning, living off the land.
Living off the land, and, you know, as much as I'd like to not see the whole world go to schmuck, sometimes there's some days where I'm like, man, I don't know if we're going to make it as a civilization, as a community, you know? And yeah, those are the days where I'm like, I'd like to be able to do everything on my own.
Hey, listen, that's very wise. I would say that, you know, you want to plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Exactly.
So that's a good way to
wise approach words from Akeem.
I always hear everything from everybody else, but I think that served me well so far. So, Indy, is there anything else you'd like to share about, like, kind of upcoming plans, projects, or just wise words or things that you're excited about? I know you're a big Dune fan. You're looking forward for Dune Part 2 coming out
pretty soon. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. That's next year, though, right?
Next spring, yeah.
Next spring, yeah. So we'll have some time for that. I'll be back by then from my trip, hopefully. And yeah, my trip, well, I'm planning to go to France for a month, visit some family. It's been a while now. And next should be Egypt. We'll see how the climate stays over there right now, but so far still good. So I haven't planned to take it just yet, so we're like on the trigger ready. But
maybe what you learn from Mike in the coming weeks will prepare you to be on the front lines.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think so. It could very well be what will set me apart over there.
Exactly, Vic. Well, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah. Let's go hunt some deers. Oh, wait. We're in Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no deers in the Nile.
Yeah.
Yeah, just other things that can kill you.
But,
Indy, it's been a pleasure as your neighbor, ex-neighbor now. It's been a pleasure. You know, like you said, we're lifers now, but, you know, I'm glad that I got you on the podcast. I was always looking for an excuse to get you on here, and when you sent me the fake foods, I think I was like, if it's not now, it's never, you know? So
yeah, that's fair. That was a good one. I didn't expect you to do it so soon. I'm so glad.
Yeah, these days, I mean, when I have a bunch of podcasts I want to do, but sometimes people have been sending me ideas and stuff to do, so I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to do this.
You know? All right, there you go. Yeah, you know, a little less work.
Maybe. Exactly, yeah. So, Indy, thank you very much for coming on Akeem's Dream Show. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, boys and girls, take care and happy Halloween. Woo!
Happy Halloween.